Hey, hey, and happy Monday, everyone. Happy Monday, Tiffany.
Happy Monday.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm glad to hear that.
It was a beautiful day.
It was a fantastic day. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah. You couldn't beat a day like today. And I think we're supposed to have another day like that tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? And then what, it's going to drop down to 20 degrees?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. You know, we just blame Rusty on
that. But we're in the middle.
Rusty's the weatherman.
Absolutely.
Right?
I always blame Rusty,
exactly.
Rusty for it. And we're in the middle of November and having
beautiful
days.
I know, it's
just
nice. Don't remind Mother Nature. Just knock on wood. You're doing a great job there, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
All right.
And Rusty.
That's right. Well, all right. Don't tell Rusty that. It'll go right to his head. All right. So, Tiff, tonight, our episode is all going to be about the fear of happiness. It was interesting. I mentioned that to a few people, and they're like, oh, there are people who are afraid of being happy?
You know what? I thought it was kind of weird, and when I was doing my homework,
yes,
I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people
that are
afraid.
Right. So today what we're going to do is we're going to mention a couple different reasons, a little explanation of why some people are afraid, and what they should be doing about that. And I think the more we talk about it, I think, you know, like we do every week, stories come out of this. All right, we'll start hearing about a little bit, right? Right?
You want one of my Tiffany stories.
I want more than one of them if we can, all right?
But I'm always happy, so I don't know.
We'll see. Maybe someone you ran into, okay? So let's start the show,
okay.
All right? Hello out there in Radio Land. Thank you so very much for tuning in. You're tuning in to what we now call 98.3 FM, The Life.
The Life.
There you go. Formerly known as The Voice of Lake County.
But now it's
90. Now you got to do the whole thing.
Oh,
98.3
yeah.
FM, The Life.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a nice long title. All right.
98.3, The Life.
There you go.
Okay.
See? There you go. Now,
right.
Now you got it. Now everyone will remember that.
Okay.
Okay. So you are listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. We are here every Monday at 7 o'clock. Our goal here is to help you navigate those paths of happiness, share some shortcuts so that we can bring a little more sunshine to every day, no matter what the weather is like outside. I am your host, Marty Jalove, and of course, I cannot do it by myself.
You can't?
No, I need my bestest buddy.
Tiffany!
There you go. That line is cracking me up. I'm going to have to change that up. It sounds too commercialized now. Not the Tiffany part. Just the intro to Tiffany.
There you go. I'm sure you'll come up with something good.
Yeah. You know what? But the main thing is that if I change it, I'm afraid I won't be as happy with that new one. There you go. See, that was kind of a stretch talking about the fear of happiness.
But you might be happier.
That's so true. Yeah. We'll have to play the odds there.
All right.
So, Tiff, again, we're talking today about the fear of happiness. And, you know, normally every week what we do is we talk about just those things. There are plenty of reasons for us to be afraid, plenty of reasons for us to be sad and even angry. All right. So because of that, you look at it, happiness is outnumbered 3-1. So what we're trying to do is just help you understand the power you have within yourself, the things you can do to become happy when you're feeling down. All right. And so it's really sad when I did some research on this just to find people who are afraid to be happy, people who are just, they would rather be grumpy. They would rather be just even less than content. They just feel like life is tough and it's all about suffering and I'm supposed to go through that. And it's so difficult. Okay. And I was talking to somebody over the weekend about this and they were like, explain more of what you're thinking. And I said, break it down like this.
Break it down.
Thank you. Scared me a little bit there. All right. Let's say that you're a religious person. You believe that you can go to heaven or nirvana or whatever you want to call this afterlife and everything will be wonderful. And so you've got a short life here and that's where you're going to go. Let's say that on the other hand, you're not religious and you believe as soon as you die, that's it. It's all over. Nothing changes. Either way, no matter how you look at it. And so it's all encompassing all over the world. Either way, you're here on this earth for a short period of time. So why not enjoy it, right?
Make the best of it.
That's it. You know, you look at it and saying that at best right now, if I could live 80 years, I'm doing better than the average. Okay. That's what ends up happening. The average is like 74 or something like that. Okay. I mean, it's scary when you think about that. You know?
What is that, next year?
I'm past due. Right. So when you think about that, you only have 80 years, and every year we get closer and closer to that. 80 of anything, 80 seems like a big number, but when you start thinking of numbers like 1,000, 2,000, whatever, 80 suddenly doesn't seem like a big number, okay? And especially when you divide every year into only 52 weeks, Think of this year already. I mean, here it is, November. How fast this year has gone.
Crazy fast.
It's insane how fast it's gone. And it's immediately like, it just seems like a week ago I saw you. Okay? And so it's amazing how week by week by week just keeps going. And what we do, we have a tendency to live for the weekends all the time, right? Mm-hmm. We rush through the week to get to the weekend. Mm-hmm. And we're pushing a whole week past us so quickly. Like we want to get past it to the weekend to hope that there's some joy there. But we don't do enough to prepare or work hard for that joy. We're like, oh, I got to catch up on my chores on this weekend. I got to do this. I got to do this, etc. And then before you know it, it's Monday. Or it's Sunday night. And you're like, oh, I feel terrible. Now tomorrow's Monday. I got to go to work. I got to start this all over again. And we repeat the same process instead of finding something to be joyful about, finding something to be happy about. Every single day, every hour, every moment we're alive.
Yeah, most people would be, oh, I got to work during the week. Monday through Friday is work, right. work, and that doesn't make them happy. But Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, that makes them happy because they don't have to.
But even some people get this anxiety because they feel they have to crowd in so much happiness in a short period of time. And if I don't do something exciting, then I've just wasted that weekend. And that's how a lot of people feel. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes they even feel it's not even worth it. Okay, I just want to relax. Okay, mm-hmm. Look at the stigma that's involved in. Everyone knows, you ask people on average, what's the worst day of the week? Most people say, oh, Mondays are awful, right? I hate Mondays. But that's why we do our show on Mondays, to teach people that Monday's a fun day, right? So that's the important thing. Then what happens is Wednesday is called hump day, like you're halfway through the week. Like, oh, I can't wait. Just got to get a little bit closer. Thursday is thirsty Thursday. I'm done with work. I'm going to go out and have a couple of drinks because all I got is one more day's worth of work. There are so many business owners and so many studies on business just show that Friday is the least productive day because people are looking forward to the weekend, mm-hmm. right? And it's so funny because some people said, so the solution would be is give them Friday off and make them work Monday through Thursday, 10-hour days. And I go and go, well, don't you think then Thursday would be the most unproductive day, right? It just, people are still looking for the break. And instead, I really want to drive home, and the reason I'm dwelling on this so heavily right now is that in case some of you out there in Radioland have to run away, you know, because you got water boiling on the stove or something like that, because you're going to hot water for dinner. Whatever the deal is, if you got to run away, I understand it, but I want you to walk away with this one idea, this one thought, this dream of making the entire journey something special. Understanding and enjoying something about every single day. You know, go to sleep at night and say, wow, I accomplished this. I really enjoyed this. And if you didn't, then work that much harder the next day, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whichever day it is. Okay. You didn't know I could name all seven days that quickly, did you? All
right. I am amazed.
But no matter what day it is, find something fun to do, something that brings you joy, something that makes you feel like you accomplished something. Fulfill a goal,
something that makes you smile.
Yeah, exactly. And most of the time, you know what it is? It's just going out of your way to make someone else smile. That's the easiest way to smile, right? Help someone else smile, and that brings you joy.
Can I tell you a Tiffany story real quick?
I will. You know, I just want to say that, you know, I'm going to give you a smile is tattooed on Tiffany somewhere. We're going to have a contest later in the year, and you have to guess where it's tattooed. All right, go ahead. Share the story, Tiffany.
Someone made me smile. The security guard at our building had brought me, so we're on the fourth floor, and he went up to the fourth floor, knocked on the door, and he had a cup of coffee and a muffin.
Oh, he had that all for you?
And he came, and there was a few other people in the office he didn't have.
Wow.
He gave me,
that
he
is
goes,
awesome.
And I thought that was the sweetest
that
thing,
is.
And it made me smile.
I'll bet.
And,
it did. I'm sure it did wonders for the rest of the people in the office too.
I know. It was. Yeah, my boss too. He just
that's funny.
Worked out. But no. When I was leaving,
Tiffany's got a boyfriend.
So when I was leaving,
yes,
I said thank you again.
Nice.
I mean, it actually brought tears to my eyes because
wow.
That was the sweetest thing.
See,
and I said
wow.
Thank you so much. And I go, that brought such a smile to my face.
And now you know he's got to be feeling great too.
Exactly.
Right. You know,
I wanted to
it.
Tell him how much that made me feel so happy, and it just so caring. So
perfect, perfect.
Anyone out there that's listening, it means so much. So if you want to do something for somebody else
that's
to make them smile,
that's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
If you feel you don't deserve it, if you don't want to lose control or anything like that, just do something nice like that. Bring some joy into someone else's life so that you can feel that joy.
Yeah.
Okay?
And it made both of us feel joy.
Excellent, excellent. All right, so Tiff, like getting back to this, all right? No, that was perfect. No, I just want to jump. That was my sloppy transition. Okay. No, I do like this fact that I still want to hear more. I want to meet this security guard who's hitting on Tiffany.
Oh my God, that was all right. So funny.
Okay. Let's see what he brings you tomorrow. Now he's like, oh God, well, I got to bring him. I got to bring her something
okay,
every day
can I
now.
Tell you?
Yeah.
He did.
Oh really? He brought you. Oh, how many days in a row now?
Oh no, it wasn't in a row. It was the following week.
Oh, so yeah. He's smart. He's only going to do it once a week. He's setting a pattern.
The last time he brought me lunch.
Wow,
yeah,
wow.
So it moved
We're
on.
Really waiting for him to bring you jewelry. That'll be the
thing.
Yeah.
We'll he knows
see.
I'm married.
All right. Okay, that's all right. Okay. That's all right.
All right. Let's get back to this.
Oh, now you want to get back to this. All right. So the question is, why is it that some people are afraid of happiness? That's what we're going to try to address today. All right. It seems like it's really irrational when you think about it. It makes absolutely no sense, right?
It didn't.
All right. But sometimes people feel that they're unworthy of it. They don't want to change. Plus, there's this other variety of reasons, and we're going to get to all of these. But it's mostly about the self-esteem. It's about what we feel about ourselves. And it is brought on with the environment, how we grew up maybe, or how we've reacted to our environment. And that's what's mostly about how people then they don't want to be happy because of that reason. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through these five really quick, the bacon, BACON, mm-hmm. and then what we'll do is we'll start discussing. We'll see where this takes us.
Okay.
All right. And so what we do every week on the show is we tackle a massive subject, okay, sometimes not as massive as others, but today we're going to talk about the fear of happiness, and we apply a little bacon to it, but not the bacon for chewing.
It's the bacon for doing.
There you go. All right, so B is this, our beliefs. It's just basically what we believe about happiness, that maybe we feel that being happy is makes us selfish or just feel like we don't deserve to be happy. That's what we believe. That's the first one. A is anxiety. All right. Sometimes what ends up happening is we're afraid of that kind of change. We think that we really have to change dramatically to be happy, and it might get worse than happy. So we're better off just staying where we're at. All right.
That's horrible.
Yeah, exactly. C is control. And what that means is sometimes people think, well, if I get too giddy, if I get too joyful, too happy, I might start wearing Hawaiian shirts like that Marty guy. I'm going to lose control and stuff like that. And so I don't trust myself because I'll maybe make bad decisions or something like that. O is going to be overwhelm. Okay. Another reason people fear happiness is because they feel overwhelmed by positive emotion. You know how some people, they laugh so hard and it turns into tears and stuff like that? And you're laughing. Yes, I do know people like that. Right. And so they don't want to feel like that because they feel like it's too much. I'm not used to that. I just don't want that.
Wow.
Okay. And that kind of leans back into that control thing. I want to stay in control and I don't want to feel out of control.
Wow.
All right. And then finally, the N is negativity. All right. These are the people who just internalize negative messages and they feel safer with negativity because they just feel this whole idea of, I would rather be a little sad than try to do something that can bring me happiness. And then it turns out that it fails and then I'm going to be miserable. You know, it's the saying, and who knows if you brought this quote about, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Okay, it's that same thing. It's some people are afraid, like, I don't want to fall in love. I don't want to.
Because I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Because I would rather nothing at all and feel nothing as opposed to feeling something wonderful and then lose it all and feel awful. Okay, so, and you just think about that negative feeling, how awful that is because.
Yeah, so I don't understand. Ooh, sorry,
yeah,
I didn't mean to yell at you.
That's all right.
So
Tiffany's making out with the mic over here. She's thinking of her security guard.
So if someone doesn't want to, let's say, fall in love because they hate the feeling, when they must have felt the breakup and felt that horrible feeling because
right?
they know what
yeah.
it's. Why do you want to stay in that? You would want.
I think it's because they find comfort in that. Like, I find comfort just being alone. I don't want people messing with my stuff. I don't want people changing me. I'm fine like this. I may be miserable, but I picture my life could be worse. Okay?
But not better.
Right, because I think a lot of people feel that happiness is fleeting. It's only momentary. All right? And so what they're going to do is I'm going to go ask that person out on a date, right? And why am I even doing that? Because she's just going to say no anyway, right? Or I'm going to ask her out, and then what's going to end up happening is we're going to go a couple times, she's going to dump me, she's going to laugh at me, or whatever the deal is. I don't want to deal with that rejection. So rather than deal with the rejection, I just won't do it at all. All right? And this goes along with, that's not just even just in a relationship, but it's everything like that. Some people don't want to leave their job. They're like, I'm not happy with my job, but I'm not going to leave my job because what'll happen? What if I go out and then nobody hires me and I suddenly have to face the reality that I'm not worth those other jobs? I'm not worth a better job. So I'd rather stay here and in a misery that I'm used to than trying something and failing at it. All right. And that's what people feel. And I'm trying to apply some logic to it. But for someone like me, it's difficult to believe that because I'm vulnerable. I'm human. I'm fragile. There are times that I'm afraid to take that risk because
I'm sorry. I don't believe that.
Well,
but
trust
okay.
me. All right. But
you seem like you would take all the kinds of risks.
No,
I'll try something.
There are certain things that certain things I'll say, yeah, sure, I could do that. But that also comes with age. But, you know, when you're younger, you know, imagine a high school student, how difficult their life is because they're growing trying to understand their place in society. The older you get, you start realizing you do have a place in society. You say to yourself, this is what's important to me. This is what's where I fit in. I see these people, but I don't want to go where those people are. I see these other people who I might view as lower than me or having a harder time, and I want to devote part of my life to helping them or something like that. Maybe that brings me joy. So what you do is as you get older, you find a place for yourself that you don't have as a younger person. You know, you got those, like, those teen angst, they call them. You know,
what?
Teen angst.
Teen angst?
Yeah, there you go.
Angst.
It's like it's the plural of ankle. Okay, no, it's not. What it is it's the tough times that teenagers have. All right,
that's all of teenage years.
Yeah. Well, and the reason, one of the reasons is this: is when you're younger than that, you are growing and you're learning, and you have your parents, right? And you look towards your parents for this guidance, and you're part of a family, right? And you're feeling, you know, you're going to have good days and bad days, but you're feeling part of something, and you know, kind of your role is I'm the child, right? When you start getting into the teen years, what ends up happening is you start trying to bust out. You're trying to rebel, and you're saying, I can see adulthood in my near future. So I don't want to be the child anymore. I want to do things on my own. All right. And that's a scary place to be because then you go to school and you go to surroundings and there's all these other people that your same age, and they're all fighting to prove that I'm an adult too. I can make decisions. And sometimes we bump into those people, and sometimes people step on us. Some people say things because they're afraid of what they're going through, and sometimes the things they say hurt us, all right? And it's a really tough time at that until you get past that and you start realizing, man, some of the things that those people say, it doesn't really matter, right? I don't care what they say, all right? And again, we always talked about that when we say, I don't care what other people say. That's really easy to say. That's hard to live by because we do have to care what some people say, but we don't have to care what everybody says. Okay. And so what I'm saying is those kids, there's a lot of times that kids fall into this fear of happiness because they don't want to be laughed at. They don't want to be judged by what they feel brings them happiness. There's a certain comfort in going, life is awful. I'm so sad. Oh, life can't be better. There's a comfort in that because you can't lose anything if you've already considered yourself a loser, okay? You can't become sadder if you already consider yourself the saddest you could possibly be. Happiness is a journey. It is a contest almost. It is a challenge you have to go after, and you have to be ready to fail. You have to be ready to fall backwards. You have to be ready to say, I'm going to go after happiness, but maybe, just maybe, I'm not going to succeed and I am going to be sad. maybe I'm going to go after happiness and I'm not going to succeed and I'll be afraid or I'll get angry at myself.
But part of the day, okay, so yeah. That's the, you could be happy part of the day, and if something goes bad, then you could be right. A little sad, but then something else might make you happy.
Yes, you can.
It's
you can,
so sad there are people right. out there. That,
but I have noticed in the teenage years a lot, because one of the things I do is I work at the local high school, Lake Zurich High School, and I am a mentor in the incubator program. I help the kids with their business ideas.
Oh,
okay,
that's so kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. I like it. Bright kids, and you can see when you talk to them, there's a lot of joy in them, and there's enthusiasm, and they see something, and they can see a future, right? But as soon as you stop talking about that, you see a lot of these kids, they're just their faces drop, and they're just like, I would rather walk around doom and gloom, not smiling, because if I'm walking around smiling, then I'm the village idiot. I'm the goofball,
okay,
right?
Okay, so do these kids talk about their ideas in front of the other kids?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
I mean, the group that I'm, these incubator kids are a specialty group, I would say, because they're not, I don't see, nobody's in this group that I'm saying is they're feeling sad. They're excited because they have a dream and their dreams are being fulfilled.
So my question would be, do you think any of them are afraid to say what their idea is, thinking the other kids are going to think it's...
Yeah, normally in general terms. I mean, this is why people dress a certain way. This is why they buy clothes from a store with name brands, because they're saying, oh, I'm cool. Look, I'm dressing the way that I was told to dress. This is the coolest way to dress because the commercial said so. So it's safer to do that than to set off on your own and say, this is what I want to do. All right, it's better to conform. And because I'm afraid that I am going to be looked down upon. Now, remember, I want to drive home that these kids that I know in these incubator classes, they found an outlet. This is a place where they can freely think and they can come up with any idea. And every idea is looked
and
upon.
And all the kids are the same, in the same boat. That
right,
they all,
and they're talking, and they're discussing, going, oh, that's a good idea. Wow, I wish I would have come up with that. This is our idea. This is our
May
idea.
May I ask how old?
These are
average?
These are high school students. So,
oh, they're in high school.
Yeah,
usually, when we talk, you're talking about little kids.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do on Sundays.
These are high school kids.
Yeah, these are the
kids.
High school kids.
Oh, that's totally different.
Yeah, it's very cool. And they're so their mind is set a little different.
Yeah.
They're learning about business. They're anxious to try to bring a product to market.
Wow.
So it's a cool project.
I'm sorry, this really interests me. So do you help them, like, okay, this is what you could do to get your...
Yeah, what I do is I mentor them, I push them a little bit, and I ask them questions. I get them, I nudge them, I get them to answer their own questions.
Right.
I will help them and point them in the right direction, but I don't take control of it. This is their baby.
Yeah. But you show them the way to go.
And I'll say, you know what? Have you ever thought of this? Or I don't know if you could build it that way. Where have you looked? What makes you think you can build this? What can we do? You know, I never want to turn them off completely. I never say anything like that can't be built. That's impossible.
Right.
But I do challenge them. Okay. Because you know, you don't want to come
You're
up with something.
You're making them think outside the box.
Right. Yeah. They don't have to, they don't have to come up with something crazy. They have to come up with something that's viable, sellable, marketable.
So do you help them, like, okay, once it's built, how to sell it?
Oh, this entire process,
Everything
at the end of the semester, what they do is there's some businesses that make some investment into it, and so they get some funding to actually help the business, right? So,
you never told me that before. We're kind of getting off track, but
completely.
I think that is the coolest thing.
Right.
That makes me happy just listening to
it. Yeah, yeah. I get so much joy.
So
remember,
cool.
We talked about helping kids, so I get so much joy. These are the high school students. And then on Sundays, I do this whole thing where I'm teaching the younger kids. These are the middle schoolers and elementary school kids about public speaking. So I just love this because younger kids are just so open to ideas.
Very cool.
Yeah, and so, brings me so much joy. And I'm glad I can help them, even in the smallest way.
Very
but anyway,
cool. Okay.
All right, so I think this is important just to tie that together, because people are listening going, what was today's show about? Right? So today's still about the fear of happiness. And I think that one of the things is the fact that when you take certain classes, like the public speaking class, where you're introducing them to public speaking, and they have to get up in front of people and share their story. And sometimes it's much easier to go, I don't want to talk about it, blah, blah, blah. You know, because they want to be cool and like, I don't want to talk in front of people. I don't have anything to say. It's because they don't want to to be laughed at. They don't want that public humiliation. And the kids, though, that break through that and say, I'm going to risk it. All right, I'm going to come there because I'm searching for this bit of happiness. I'm going to share my idea, my thought that might be different than everyone else thinks, but I want to share it. Those are the kids where you're looking like, wow, this kid is just bright. And he is, you could just see joy coming out of him. And you see that then when I get those kids to speak, the other kids kind of light up and you can see that they're learning from that. And there's some kids who just, it's going to take a lot for them to open up like that. And other kids, it comes natural to them. And that's the speaking. Now, for the kids in high school about the projects, what's cool is I still find the same thing. A couple kids sit back really quiet, and other kids are really vibrant about it and excited. And the more those kids get to talk, those other kids start bringing it up. And then my job is to say, hey, I haven't heard you speak. What do you think about this? Why don't you enter in? What's your part of this whole deal? What are you doing? Why do you think this is a great idea?
Happiness is contagious.
There you go, baby. That's it. That's our t-shirt. Write that down.
That's ready.
All right, there you go. Oh, what's happening to me? Mine and Tiffany's minds are in sync. I don't know what's going to happen now. All right, so anyway, that it's important to do something that adds some creativity, adds some learning to your life. That's a quick way to find some happiness and suddenly realize you are deserving of happiness. I'm going to throw in a quick little Marty story. When I worked at a manufacturing company once, and there was a tool room, and the tool room was run very strict by this man who signed out everything. If you needed a drill bit, if you needed a wedge, if you needed a chisel, whatever you needed, any type of tool, you had to sign out for it. He had to come in. He would take a look at the tools. If there were drill bits or something like that, he would machine them so they were sharp again, and he would keep track. So he kept complete inventory on it. And he was a genius guy, really well thought out.
He probably loved it.
Yeah, yeah. But he rarely smiled.
Ooh.
He just came, did his work and stuff. I would come and I would tell him jokes and stuff like that. And he'd go, yes, that is very funny. Do you need a drill bit? You know, that type of thing. I was like, all right, fine. But finally, with him, when I was in charge of the R&D department, the research and development department, and we were creating stuff, I called him in. I pulled him into that. And he's like, I'm not in this group. And I'm like, yeah, but I want you to come in because you understand the tools. You understand the tools that we have to build things with. I can pretend and I can create something, but I don't know if it's actually feasible for us to build this. I need your expertise based on what we can actually build. And we've got him in there, and I encouraged him to share his ideas because everyone's got their own ideas, their dreams, and their thoughts. When I encouraged him to do that, suddenly you see his face like lighten up. Oh, yeah. And then before you know it, he was like laughing. I remember that it was the best when one day he told me a joke. And it was a terrible joke. But I laughed.
You said it was the funniest thing.
Yeah, I laughed because I was kind of like, well, this is such an incredible turning point. Now, it's not to say that maybe in his personal life, outside of that with his family, he might have laughed and smiled and stuff like that. But, you know, I always tell you that you can see in people's faces these smile lines, wrinkles. Some people call them wrinkles, but I'm going to call them smile lines. He had none of those. His face looked like he didn't smile ever. He was always frowning, and you could just see that in his face. And so it was something to watch him smile like that. And that was, to me, that was just a wonderful thing. All right. And so this was a guy who was probably set. He was raised in another country, and he came to this country. And, you know, he was very talented, very smart, could build anything. Wonderful guy. But he was a guy that didn't see the necessity of fun, didn't see the need for happiness.
Aww.
And, you know, and we think about that going, wow, to live your whole life like that, you've got to ask yourself, what's my purpose? And even if you're like, I'm spending my entire life and I can't find my purpose, either way, well, I have fun on the journey. All right, why not, right? It's the same thing. If you're on a road trip and you have to drive from Chicago to California and you're like,
yay.
Yeah, I know you. All right. Of course. Yeah, you. All right. But you're driving the whole way. And let's say you're in the car with people you don't really like.
Ooh.
Okay. So you got to drive from Chicago all the way to California. Long drive, right? And you can keep saying, once I get to California, it'll be good. Once we get to California, we're going to drop her off. And I'm going to go see my family or my friends. And I'm going to go do this. It'll all be happy. But it will take you a few days to drive from Chicago to California. It's a long time, all right? And if you hate it, if you despise being there, it will seem to take longer.
You know what I would do?
Go ahead.
I would, depending on how many people are in the car, let's say four.
Okay.
I'd say, okay, from California to Chicago, we're going to make Chicago to California, we're going to make the best of it. Is there a place that you want to go that we could stop? So everyone could have some type of, or a restaurant you want to stop at, or a certain type of food, or some type of thing. And then each person would get to say, and then on the trip, we each get to stop. So each person would be able to, and then hopefully that would make everyone happy and then not hate each other.
There you go. See, that's the secret to life. That's why you're on the show, Tiff. All right. Because you what we end up doing is that's a metaphor for life. Coming from Chicago to California, saying that happiness is at the end. No, it's got to be, you got to find something to be happy about the entire trip.
I did. I passed.
There you go. You did it. You came up with that all on your own.
I did.
Sweet little Tiffany.
And I'm just letting everyone know that Marty did not give me the answer.
No, that was perfect. And so that's the whole thing, is just enjoy that entire trip. Come up with something to be happy about, right? Otherwise, that trip is going to be forever, and it's not worth it. Why rob yourself of all that time?
Right.
Okay. Wow, look at this time. It's like 8:34, and we haven't even jumped into this.
What? Oh, for Pete's sakes, you want me to change the clock?
No, that's right. It's not 8:34, it's 7:34. But those of you who are listening from another time zone, it's 8:34 for you. All right. That one says 7:34. This one's 8:34. This one, I just need a piece of like black electrical tape to cover a part of that 8, make it look like a 7. Huh. All right, so we're good.
All right,
so getting back into this. So we've been talking a little bit about these types of things. But some people, like this guy that I worked with, I think he was afraid of happiness because he believed he wasn't supposed to be. All right. I think that was it. Now, I don't think that he was the type of person who felt it was selfish to be happy, because some people, maybe when they live in a terrible place where there's a lot of trauma, or there's a lot of hatred, or just despair, right? What happens is, if one guy is sitting there being all happy, it's difficult sometimes if you're the happy one to go, wow, I don't feel like I deserve to be happy. I'm supposed to be sad, okay? And here's an example is, I remember when, and it's a lot of the funerals in my family, but I remember specifically when my dad passed away and me and my brothers were together. Now, my dad was sick in the hospital, and we knew at a certain point, it's just a matter of time, he was going to die. So we all made peace. We were able to chat with him and talk with him and stuff like that. But then by the time we had gotten to the funeral and that, now it was kind of, sure, we were mourning, and part of us felt like, I think we have to be sad here. Like, we have to be solemn and that. But I come from a family of people who like to laugh, and my father loved to laugh. My father loved practical jokes, and he just loved smiling and laughing and giggling. And so it was just wrong, deep in our hearts. I think we felt it was wrong to just be quiet and solemn at this, even though most people think this is your father's funeral, right? But again, we knew that he was going to pass away. We had led up to this. So we were doing a lot of the mourning before it happened. And there was a point in time where, you know, this was almost 38 years ago, I think my dad passed away. So it's a while ago. And I remember sitting outside of the church, like in the vestibule or the funeral home, wherever it was, and we're sitting there, we're talking, and we're just seeing all the people from the old neighborhood are showing up and stuff. And this woman, an elderly woman, heavy set, wearing a dress and a fur coat or whatever she was wearing, this, you know, walked up and saw my father, and just, we saw her walk up there and then like nodded or whatever, said a quick prayer, turned around and was leaving immediately, like didn't sit down or anything. And I'm sitting with my brother, and we're looking, and as she's walking, you could see she is like her walk turned into a waddle as she was kept separating her legs further, because what was happening was, as she was doing this, her underwear were falling down. And this woman is wearing, suddenly by the time she's leaving the church, her underwear, these big bloomers, because she was an older woman, are almost around her ankles.
And poor woman.
Oh my God, the poor woman.
She wants to show respect to your dad.
I know, and
now he's like,
happened.
Oh my God.
My brother and I dying laughing, all right, trying as hard as we can to hold it in, all right? We didn't laugh at her. She didn't see us.
No, no, no.
But we were dying, and he said the greatest things. He goes, you know, Dad just pulled her underwear down, okay? Because my dad loved the Great Practical Joke, and it was like, oh, my God. He is like, he is here. He is here giving us permission to be okay. And it was just such a wonderful thing. And so that's a situation sometimes when you look at this and you say, there are times when we feel like I can't be happy, okay? And it's okay to mourn, but I love more and more traditions, how more and more funerals, they lean in this direction where they're showing
celebrating
pictures
of life.
Right, and they're showing pictures of this person, their entire life. Let's celebrate their life. Let's not mourn that they're dead. Let's celebrate all the wonderful things we did and how we see that person still within ourselves and the things we do. And that's what's so important. That's the turnaround. That's how you master happiness, you know?
Oh.
All right? So anyway, so the way people believe is important, all right? And so as long as you believe that you deserve this happiness, all right? So it's important to...
Everyone deserves happiness.
All right, so one of the things we want these people to do is challenge their beliefs and recognize that they, all of us, like you just said, we all inherently deserve happiness, without a doubt, all right? Focus on self-care. Practice gratitude, looking back at celebrating someone's life, like you just said, and recognize the fact that just being happy does not make you a bad person.
Correct.
You deserve to be happy. All right. So that's the beliefs. The next one is anxiety. All right. And anxiety is the people that they're afraid of change. They're like, look, this is my life. This is where I'm at. And it's this whole thing of like, let's say somebody's in a bad relationship or they're in a job that they don't like. And they're saying, this is bad, but you know what? This is it. I'm not going to change because I'm afraid if I change, it's going to get worse. I'm afraid if I change, I'm going to look back and go, oh, I can't believe I left that job. Everything was fine. You know, why did I do this? All right. And so they're so afraid that things will get worse, that they're afraid to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And when you just listen to how that sounds, they're so afraid that things will get worse. They're afraid to take a chance of getting better. Right. That's just a terrible way to live. Okay, again, because we're on this earth for such a short period of time. And I can't wait till next week, because next week we're talking about mortality. Okay, I know, this is going to be good. It's going to be a good one. But anyway, we're going to get, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to ruin next week's show. So this whole idea of this fear. So what these people need to do is, again, be mindful. Focus on the present moment. Focus on this part. When we're driving from Chicago to California, focus on, hey, we're in Iowa now. This is great. We're having a great time. Don't focus so much on California because it will make the trip that much longer. Okay, so it's really important to focus on that present moment, all right, and understand that true happiness will come to us as long as we take some risks. And the risks are always going to be worth it, all right, to just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the day. Find something wonderful and happy about every moment of our life. All right. So that's the B was beliefs. A is anxiety. C is control.
Control.
Yes. A lot of people here, they believe that they're going to lose control. All right. If they become too happy. Like, in other words, I can't do this if I have to be careful about the people around me, because if I let my guard down, okay, and I'm happy with you, you might take advantage of me. You know, right? Yeah, that's what the security guard's thinking. Yeah, that's right. All right. In other words, I don't want, like, salespeople come to you, and they're all friendly and happy, and if I let my guard down and just be happy with them, suddenly I'm going to part with a lot of money. All right? And so this is this whole idea of, I don't want to lose control. If I want to lead a life based on logic and just think logical as opposed to allow my emotions to come into play. All right. And that's another sad thing, is I don't want to lead a life where I'm only just logical and thinking every decision's got to be a perfect decision. You know, we want to go out and have fun and enjoy ourselves and do things that bring us joy. All right. But sometimes, again, we're afraid to do that because of the possible consequences, whether it's the possible consequences of just that's how life is. Life's going to hand me bad times, or someone's going to take advantage of me. All right. The next one is going to be overwhelm. All right. And that is, I think people see people as the people who are giddy and happy and smiley all the time as kind of goofy. Like, this is, you're not even taking life serious. And I'm not going to fall into that. I don't want life to be overwhelming for me. I've got concentration. I've got duties and responsibilities in life. I've got to do things and I've got to accomplish things. I cannot sit around and smile and play games like you. I'm an adult. And this is what this whole thing is. They feel that if they jump into that, they're going to, you know, life will fall apart because they'll lose focus on the things that are important to them. Okay.
Okay.
Look at, you know, it's a great example of that. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which one?
The original, the cartoon one. Yeah, when you just think about that, that he was very, very mad all the time. I mean, he was the Grinch, and he was just, he despised, and looking down in Whoville, how happy they were. And he was like, that makes no sense on how happy. They're wasting their life. They're not supposed to be doing that. But here he lived with this little cute puppy.
Oh, the cute dog.
Yeah, in a cave, you know, up in the mountain. And he was definitely not happy. And he just couldn't allow himself to be happy because he was like, no, I'm going to lose control. This is overwhelming. This is foolish. This is not how we're supposed to act. And this is how so many people treat themselves and even train themselves to feel that way. And just think about that. Can you imagine if you were that type of a person?
Gosh.
No, it would be awful, right? So instead, what we want to do is we do want to open ourselves up and do this cautiously. Do this in a safe environment. Do this with people that you trust and you love. Just let loose and then slowly do it a little bit more and a little bit more. It doesn't have to be all-encompassing. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. Just allow yourself to be happy.
Yeah, do something that you like.
Exactly.
Maybe, you know, pick a day of the week and say, you know what? I always wanted to try this or do this, or I enjoy doing this. And do it.
And just do it. And then develop some self-coping skills. In other words, do something and ask yourself, how did that make me feel?
Yeah.
Right? How did it make me feel? And did I lose control? All right? Do people look down upon me now? It didn't change my life in any negative way. It only changed my life in a positive way. All right? And so that's what's so important. So before we get into the last one, which is end negativity, Tiff, we haven't heard a quote from you today.
Oh, boy.
We went off on a big tangent about high school. So what kind of a quote you got for us?
If you learned to fear joy, you can learn to be happy again.
Oh, wait. If you learned
to fear joy,
uh-huh,
you can learn to be happy again.
Oh, I like that. At first, I didn't understand, but no, I like that. Yeah, so if you learned, if you have the capacity to be sad, then you also have the capacity to be happy.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Who wrote that one?
Lloyd. It didn't say. It was unknown.
That's all right. Good. It's all good. It's a great line.
Yeah, it is.
I do like that because it just shows you when you're like, I can't be happy. I don't have time for it. You're in control of your life.
No, I do know.
You do know.
Christine, she's a doctor.
Christine the doctor.
Yeah,
so
the top one.
Dr. Christine. Dr. Christine Baccio, PhD.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. Thank you, Christine. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for calling Tiffany right away and taking credit for the quote.
Instead of Lloyd.
Exactly. She's like, Lloyd doesn't even work here anymore. All right. So the last one here is the N is negativity. All right. So far what we've done, and you're going to see a lot of these crossover, but there's subtle differences. B is your beliefs. What you believe that maybe being happy is being selfish. A is your anxiety, you're afraid of this, and maybe what you're afraid of is that C, control, that you're going to lose control of what's going on, which leads us to this whole idea of viewing too much happiness might be overwhelming and I can't deal with it. And so N is what ends up happening. It's so easy to just become a negative person, right? It's just so easy. And I'm telling you, I see this in some people where they're just like, I would just rather be sad because I don't want to risk it. And life has got to be a risk. And I think you've got to take those risks, a chance at happiness. You know, again, I'm going to bring up that same quote I said earlier. It's that whole idea, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved before, because it's so important. The intensity you feel, the joy in that, over time, what happens is, and I think you'll attest to this. We'll see how normal Tiffany is today.
Oh, the pressure.
Yes, exactly. When I look back in life, I have more memories of happy times. And even the things that I would say, oh, I remember this was negative, and I they seem to like disappear. They seem to lessen. They're smaller. Those things that really upset me or made me mad or sad or I was afraid of seem to just be like, it's not that big of a deal. It's over. Mm-hmm. But the happy memories, the happy ones, just stick with me because the memories of those are incredible. Now, I know there's people out there who had some severe trauma that they're gonna continue to live with, and those memories of that are gonna haunt them for a long time. But I ask them to also go back and try to remember those treasured memories, those memories that brought them this overwhelming glee. Remember those things and bring those to the forefront of your mind. Every time you're feeling down, go back and say, oh, I remember this one time this happened. Okay? I am so lucky because I've got family that when I'm lucky because I came from a big family, and when we're together, we always reminisce about, remember when we did this? I don't ever remember us having a story or we get together to say, remember when we were all really sad? Remember when you were mad and I was mad, and then remember when I was afraid? No,
remember when your sisters would babysit you and you did terrible jokes on them? Yes.
It wasn't sisters. Oh, it was only one sister. Yes, and we were mean to her. Yes, but that was funny. And so maybe I'll ask her if she, well, what her memories of that are. But that's what I mean is that, and so my question to you is this, Tiff, is when you look back in your life, do you have more memories of happy times or the negative times?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, there's some negatives. Everyone has some negatives, absolutely, 100%.
But would you
most more happy?
And would you say that the majority of your sad or negative memories, would you say that now as you're an adult, you look at them going, that was, a lot of them were trivial. Like they, a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them. I'm not saying we all have big problems. We all have things, but think about them. You're past them now. They, you know, unless there's something that's haunting you right now. But think about it. Most of them, you look back and you're like, I survived it.
Yeah. I wish I could go back and tell the younger me.
Yes.
It's really not a big deal.
Yeah.
And of course, the younger me would probably say, what are you talking about? You don't know.
Yeah, old lady.
Yeah. But yes.
When I would talk to some friends and stuff like that were going through a divorce, all right, the greatest line that I always used, and you really had to work at it and say, picture yourself 5 years from now. 5 years, just 5 years. All right, you're going to look back and you are going to be in such a better place. You are going to be gleeful. You're going to be happy. You're going to maybe you'll find someone else, or maybe you won't
be remarried.
Yeah, maybe or maybe not. It doesn't matter. But you'll be in a better place than you are right now. I guarantee it. And if you can picture it, you can move in that direction. You can make those dreams come true. And you have to keep doing that. And I know. And I would tell them, I know that right now you're really hurting, and it's you're overwhelmed with negative emotion, and it's really, really tough. But I just want to help you see that little light at the end of the tunnel.
Now, I totally forgot this quote, and I...
And you didn't write it down?
Something, the law of attraction.
Yes, yes.
That's what it was. That when you think positive, the positive things, if you keep thinking the negative things, only negative things are going to come. So what you were just saying about your friends that just got a divorce, if they think positive in the next 5 years...
Right, and it's tough when it's happening. Mm-hmm. It is very tough. Where, you know, you feel your whole life is falling apart and everything and nothing can get better. And you can't see that. You got to keep reminding yourself that I'm still in control. And this is as low as I'm going to get. But when I'm really low like that, the only place I got to go is up. Okay. And there is going to be some joy there. I can refine joy because I found joy before. I can do it again. All right. And so it's a tough time when you're like that. And I'm just using divorce, but there are plenty of people who go through a lot of things worse than divorce. Okay. There are people who go through some trauma that is just so unbearable. Okay. And I hope that they can find some light. I hope they can find some joy or happiness somewhere. And these are the people, obviously, that are beyond what we can help them.
Exactly.
I mean, we make no guess, or we're not making any promises that, oh, just listen to this show and you'll be all fine and everything's good. If things are really rough in your life, you need to go out and find some help, some professional help. You can't get all your therapy from a radio show, all right? Especially when all that's about bacon, all right? Yeah, because as much as we'd like to say bacon solves all problems, it only solves most of them.
Only most, yes.
That's right, yep. That's right.
Especially turkey-covered bacon.
Yes, yes. Turkey, well, you mean bacon-covered turkey.
Bacon-covered turkey.
I don't know
turkey.
If I could make turkey a turkey-covered bacon. Yes, but all right. But anyway, Tiff, give us another quote there.
Okay, talking about this. Happiness, it feels unfamiliar, and that makes me nervous.
Oh, wow. That is very, I like the way that says. Who said that?
That one is Lloyd.
Is it? Well, see, every once in a while, Lloyd comes up with a good one, so you got to hand it to him.
The next few ones are going to be Lloyd.
All right, let me hear another one.
The fear of being happy stems from the fear of losing control.
Yeah, that's and right. We talked about that. Yeah, yeah. There we go. But I reread that last one, the one right before that.
The happiness feels unfamiliar, and that makes me nervous.
Yeah, exactly. That's the anxiety that's involved in it. Like, this is something that's unfamiliar territory. You know, people who have just had a rough life, and then all of a sudden maybe they land the right job or they meet the right person, and they're like, I don't want to be in this relationship. This is, like, it's something's about to fall apart because I don't deserve this happiness. I've never experienced this happiness. This is just making me feel nervous, anxious. I don't like this at all. And that's rough, because just then that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I'm so freaked out about this happiness. Like, this isn't going to work out. Before you know it, you make it happen. Mm. You know? So give us one more, Tiff.
Okay.
If you don't mind. If it makes you happy.
Being happy means letting go of old habits and comfort zones. And that's scary.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
To be happy, you got to let go of those old habits, those comfort zones.
Yeah, those
and
things.
Stop being, having it scary and just be happy.
So it's, again, let's just review this whole thing about that road trip we talked about.
Okay.
You and your new bestest buddies on a road trip.
Oh,
you
fun.
Know, you start out with, oh, I can't believe she's here with us, right? And you're not enjoying it, but you're going to make the best of it. And before you know it, she's going to say, you get to pick where we go out to eat the first time, our first stop, and she picks a place that turns out to be your new favorite restaurant. Before you know it, you connect, you have something in common, you find some
she's
common.
She's my new bestest buddy.
Right, exactly. And she's like, oh, I can't wait till I get to California.
Dump just her. Smile right, and right, nod.
Right. Exactly. So, so with that, with our last 5 minutes, you know what I'd like to do, Tiff? Here's a cool thing. Living or dead, it doesn't matter. Think of this. You're on a road trip across the country. All right.
I love road trips.
All right. Who are the three other people in the car with you? Like I said, living and dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark.
Aw, that's nice.
Mark is, and I'm not just saying this and blowing.
I'm going to have to say Christy.
Because Mark is really, he is really fun to travel with.
Oh, yeah.
He really is. Anytime I'm
He's probably going to bring a snowmobile and dump you anyway.
Yeah,
but
well,
go ahead.
Maybe. Okay.
All right, so Mark. No, you know what? Don't pick Mark. Don't, because I'm not going to pick Christy. Pick three other people.
Oh, gosh.
Pick, yeah. Okay. You know, like celebrities that you could pick. You know,
well,
yeah. I don't want you to pick your best friends. No, pick celebrities.
Can I pick my mom?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We did drive cross country before, and it was really fun.
Okay.
So now, two more, huh?
Yeah. Think about it. Who would you like going cross country? You got a good conversation with them? You can pick Dolly Parton.
Ooh. You know what?
I knew. Yes, of course.
Okay,
yes.
Because that's a shame that I didn't think of her. But yeah.
Yeah, because you're thinking of people you know.
Yeah.
As opposed to opening up.
Yeah. Dolly Parton. That would be very cool.
All right. Cool.
My mom and Dolly Parton, and that would be a fun trip too.
Wow.
So, okay. So I have one more. Am I having time?
Sure.
You put me on the spot, and it takes me a while.
So I'm gonna pick Leonardo da Vinci. Okay.
Good for you.
I'm hoping that we can speak the same language somewhere, but let's set that as a rule.
Well, yeah, I know.
All right. I'm gonna pick
I know who you're gonna pick.
Who?
Einstein.
No.
Okay. All right.
He's big on himself. Only one super genius in the car at the time. I'm going to pick Benjamin Franklin. I'd like to learn more about him. He was a player back in his day.
Yeah,
inventor, smart guy.
I have
And then the third person last, Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, geez almighty.
So I think that's going to be a fun car.
My third person?
Yes.
Betty White.
Oh,
love
wow.
Betty White.
Now, isn't it kind of funny how your car is all filled with women, my car is all filled with men?
I didn't think about it.
Yeah, we didn't even cross over.
No.
All right. Well, there you go.
Oh, but I got to tell you, my road trip would be a lot more fun than yours.
I don't think so.
You really think they all have a sense of humor?
Oh, my God. Completely.
Three of them? You would be the only one. They would throw you out of the car because you'd be cracking jokes.
Probably.
Everyone in my car is going to be laughing.
We would have a very good time in my car. Hmm. You're kidding me?
Yeah, you're one of those smart people, so we like smart people in the car.
We'd all be laughing at Einstein as he's hitchhiking on the side of the road. We're picking you up.
You dumped him off.
Exactly. Go hitch Albert. Okay. all right. So with that, let's just wrap this up. That we talked about this whole idea, this fear of happiness. All right. It's really sad that people feel that they're not worthy of happiness, or they're just afraid of losing control. They're afraid of what could happen. They're afraid that happiness is going to bring them more sorrow than anything else. But just like we talked about this road trip, make the trip the best trip as possible. Find those people that we want to travel with and deal with the people that we're stuck with, right? We can turn those frowns upside down. We can have a good time if we allow ourselves to do that. So although it seems counterproductive, all right, and like I said, many people are afraid of happiness. But if we recognize the underlying reason behind our fear, we can start to develop strategies to overcome it. That's the most important thing. Ask ourselves, why am I afraid of happiness? Why am I shying away from it? And be really honest with ourselves. All right. So using this bacon, this layout that we have, people can challenge their beliefs. They can practice mindfulness. They can focus on setting goals. They can develop helpful healing coping skills and practice self-compassion. Treat yourself nice because you deserve it. All right. And by doing that, that journey we're going to take across country, that journey that we call life, that journey that lasts maybe 80 years.
The adventure.
That's it. And make it an adventure.
And we're all going to be wearing our new t-shirt, Happiness is Contagious.
That's it. All right, I was going to ask you, then make sure you write that down. Happiness is Contagious. And you'll be able to, that'll be available on, what is it? It's Bacon Bit. No.
MasterHappinessGear.com.
MasterHappinessGear.com. You're absolutely right. I forgot about that for a second. I'm like, it's something. This is Bacon Bits Radio. You can, BaconBitsRadio.com. You can learn more about our show on that.
Mm.
Okay, we're all over the place.
All over the place. But Spotify?
Yes. Oh, and look at this. This spot says it's 9 o'clock. And we're all out of time. Yes. Tune into our podcast in case you missed today's show, okay? But for some reason, you just turned on the radio. Turn into the podcast, Bacon Bits with Master Happiness, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Anywhere.
That's right. So this has been, you've been listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove, and of course, the effervescent, always happy, no reason to be afraid of happiness,
Tiffany.
There you are. All right. Thank you. Tune in next week when we're going to be talking about mortality.
Ooh.
All right. Say goodnight, Tiffany.
Goodnight, Tiffany.
Bye-bye.
Bye.